But on our Purim, we're going to deal with a question that Rav Kook deals with a lot, and that is how to understand some of the more difficult mitzvot in the Torah. I'll tell you what really got me thinking. Somebody sent me a link on it was on YouTube. I guess you do YouTube Iranian stoning or something like that. There's a stoning of a woman in Iran who betrayed her husband, and when I was a kid, I used to like The Godfather and all these action or gory movies, but I couldn't watch it. It was like the most it was one of the most disgusting, animalistic, almost cannibalistic, and then you ask yourself, how is it possible that in the Torah we also have the Skilas, Refai, Harig, Vechenek? And we talk about that we want to rejuvenate the Sanhedrin. Are we going to have the four mitot betin? Anybody who deals with chinuch and has intelligent students, the question comes up a lot regarding slavery, right? If the idea of the Torah is to acculturate and to civilize and to moralize mankind, why doesn't the Torah just say no slavery? And just like the Torah is eternal, right? The Torah knew that that was the ideal. And the Torah knows very well how to prohibit things, right? There are 365 prohibitions. And one of them could be just like, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not have slaves, right? The idea of polygamy, taking two wives. So we know that today the rabbis prohibited it. But the question is, if it's really wrong, why wasn't it already written that it's wrong in the Torah? Because again, the Torah is eternal, and God knew when he gave the Torah 3,000 years ago that it was wrong. So if it was wrong, why didn't he just say that it was wrong then? And that would have maybe speeded up the process that much quicker.
Maybe it's not wrong.
Well, the rabbis today think that it's wrong, but that's a question.
Maybe it's wrong for our generation, but eternally it's not.
That's a possibility. On the other hand, the way that Rav Kook looks at the world, and I think most people look at it that way, is that the world is always advancing, and that mankind is not going to go back to Eshet Yifat Toar, right? The idea that there's another example that whenever you learn Parshat Ki Teitzeh, especially with women, the idea of raping a woman on the field of battle, we would expect more of the morality of the Torah. And even if the Torah says that you can only do it if you do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? Nevertheless, why doesn't the Torah just say no? Right? Because, again, the Torah knows very well how to say no. God says no very often. And the question of Malko, the question of Shemitah, if the idea is to help the poor, the way Shemitah is run these days, to buy Shemitah Lemahadrin is very expensive, stuff which is imported from Chutz Laretz. And Bekitzur, why do I discuss it before Purim? Because the issue of Machot Imchet Zecher Amalek, to eradicate every old man, every two-year-old child, and all of us, it should bother every moral person, and it should bother Kal Vachomer, a Torah observant Jew. Even if he has accepted everything that God says to do, whether he understands or not, if God says sacrifice your son, you're going to do it, whether you like it or not. On the other hand, like Rav Kook says there, and we learned it in Akedat Yitzchak, the climax of the story of Akedat Yitzchak is Al Tishlach Yadcha El Na'ar, Al Tas Lo Me'uma, don't lay a finger on him, not by me. Right? We're ending this charade of human sacrifice. We're now switching gear to morality. Monotheism, religion, morality go together. And if so, where does Amalek fit into there? And that's a good question. And what a lot of students like today is that Rav Kook, more than any other rabbi that I'm familiar with, takes the issue by the horns, and in a very is not apologetic at all, but he explains it, takes issue by issue, and sets a couple of yesodot that we're going to deal with, a couple of, how would you say, yesodot?
Principles,
okay, that really cover just about all of the cases that we mentioned. The main points are, number one, thank God people are asking questions, but you have to remember that the questions that we're asking are based on 3,300 years of Torah morality, and if it weren't that way, nobody would be asking questions. It's a slow process that the Torah improved mankind. Number two, you have to differentiate between that which the Torah allows temporarily in certain periods, between as opposed to that which the Torah obligates. Number three, the Torah, eternal Torah, means that it also had to apply to a primitive agricultural world of 3,300 years ago as much as it applies today, as much as it will apply 33 million years from now. Regarding certain questions that we asked about the morality of Kibush Eretz Yisrael and Amalek, the answer is, regarding Amalek, you fight fire with fire. In every generation, however you can deter the enemy, you do it in their language. If theoretically the world would honestly do away with nuclear bombs, we would be allowed also, and we would be obligated to do away with our nuclear bombs. But we can't be suckers. Right? We can't let everyone say that they're doing it away and we'll be the only suckers who really do it, because that really is nothing for the Jewish people to do. Right? And how can we make sure that we Jews don't do stupid things like that? By once a year remembering Amalek, that don't be naive, don't let going take advantage of you, don't be a sucker. Sometimes you gotta be tough, even if it's artificial, even if it's an act, even if it's temporary, but that is the only way that the world is going to be moral. Because like we've said before, Am Yisrael keeps dragging the world up, 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 up. And the morality of the world needs Am Yisrael, and therefore, Lo Hamitim Yahalleluya, we have to exist, and the only way to exist is that if an Amalek comes around, to cut him down in his language. Fight fire with fire. Adkan. Purim Sameach.